Chapter 14. A quote from Navarre, An Unedited History by Colonel Lewis Markham. In the 6 centuries of recorded history of dragon and rider, there have been hundreds of known cases where a dragon simply cannot emotionally recover from the loss of their bonded rider. This happens when the bond is particularly strong and, in 3 documented cases, has even caused the untimely death of the dragon. Zayden. For the first time, the sight of him fills my chest with hope. He won't let this happen. He might hate me, but he's a wing leader. He can't just watch them kill a dragon. But I know the rules probably better than anyone else in this quadrant. He has to. Bile rises in my throat, and I tilt my chin to quell the burning. What Zayden wants, which is always debatable, doesn't matter here. He can only observe, not interfere. I'm going to have an audience for my death. Fantastic. So much for hope.
And if we don't want to rethink our actions, Jack shouts.
Zayden looks toward me, and I swear I can see his jaw clench, even from this far away. Hope is a fickle, dangerous thing. It steals your focus and aims it toward the possibilities, instead of keeping it where it belongs, on the probabilities. Zayden's words come back to me with alarming clarity, and I rip my gaze from his and concentrate on the 3 probabilities in front of me.
There's nothing you can do, right, wing leader? Jack bellows.
Guess he knows the rules, too.
It's not me you should worry about today, Zayden responds, and Sigale tilts her head, nothing but menace in her eyes when I glance over.
You really going to do this? I ask Tynan. Attack a squadmate?
Squads don't mean shit today,
he seethes, menace curling his lips into a sinister smile.
So I guess that's a no on the flying, I toss over my shoulder again. And the golden dragon chuffs low in its throat in response. Great, well, if you can back me up with those claws, I'd really appreciate it.
It chuffs twice, and I spare a glance down at its claws. Or should I say, paws? Oh, fucking hell. You don't have any claws? I turn back to the 3 men just as Jack roars a battle cry and sprints toward me. I don't hesitate. I whip my blade across the rapidly closing space between us, and the dagger finds its mark in the shoulder of his sword arm. His sword falls as he hits his knees, crying out this time in pain. Good. But Orin and Tynan have charged at the same time, and they're almost on me. I fling my 2nd dagger at Tynan and catch him in the thigh, slowing but not stopping him. Orin swings for my neck and I duck, unsheathing another blade and slicing him along the ribs just like I did during our challenge. My ankle isn't going to let me kick or even land a decent punch, so it's up to my blades. He recovers quickly and pivots with the sword, catching me at my stomach in a clean slice that would eviscerate me if not for Mira's armor. Instead, the blade skims the scales, sliding right off.
What the hell? Orin's eyes fly wide. She's destroyed my shoulder, Jack cries, stumbling to his feet and distracting the others. I can't move it.
He clutches the joint and I grin.
That's the thing about having weak joints, I say, palming another blade. You know exactly where to strike.
Kill her,
Jack orders, still clutching his shoulder as he backs away a few steps, then turns and runs in the opposite direction, disappearing into the tree line in no time.
Fucking coward.
Tynan jabs with his sword and I spin away, white-hot pain stealing my sight for a heartbeat before I swipe backward, plunging my dagger into his side, then pivoting, shoving my elbow up into Orin's chin as he attacks, rattling his head.
You fucking bitch!
Tynan screams, pressing his palm against his oozing side.
Such an original...
I take advantage of Orin's dazed expression and slice open his hip.
Insult!
The move costs me, and a scream rips from my throat as Tynan's sword
cuts into my upper right arm along the direction of the bone. The armor keeps it from penetrating my ribs, but I know I'll have a hell of a bruise tomorrow as I wrench myself away, blood flowing freely as I peel myself off the sword.
Behind you, Zayden shouts.
I pivot to see Orin's sword held high, ready to separate my head from my shoulders. But the golden dragon snaps its jaw and Orin stumbles to the side with terror-filled eyes, as if he's just now realized that it has teeth. I sidestep and knock the handle of my blade against the base of his skull. He crumples, unconscious, and I don't wait to see him fall before turning back toward Tynan, who has his bloodied sword ready.
You can't interfere!
Tynan shouts at Zayden, but I don't dare look away from my opponent long enough to see how the wing leader reacts.
No, but I can narrate, Zayden retorts.
He's obviously on my side here, which confuses the hell out of me, since more than anything, I'm certain he wants me dead. But maybe it's not my life he's protecting, but the golden dragon's. I chance a quick glance.
Yeah, Sigale looks pissed.
Her head undulates in a serpentine motion, a clear sign of agitation, and those narrowed golden eyes of hers are focused on Tynan, who is now trying to circle me like we're on the mat. But I won't let him get between me and the little golden dragon.
Your arm is shot, Soren Gale, Tynan hisses, his face pale and sweaty. I'm used to functioning in pain, asshole. Are you?
I raise the dagger in my right hand just to prove that I can, despite the blood that runs down my arm and drips from the tip of my blade, saturating the wrap across my palm. My gaze drops meaningfully to his side.
I know exactly where I sliced into you. If you don't get to a healer soon, you'll bleed out internally.
Rage contorts his features, and he moves to strike. I try to flick my knife at him, but it slips from my blood-soaked hand and lands with a thud in the grass several feet away. And I know my bravado won't be enough to save me now. My arm is shot. My leg is shot. But at least I made Jack Barlow run away before I died. As a last thought, that's not a bad one. Just as Tynan reaches up to two-hand his sword, preparing for a killing blow, I catch a glimpse of movement to my right. It's Zayden, and rules be damned, he steps forward as though he intends to stop Tynan from killing me. I barely have a moment to register surprise that Zayden would ever save me for any reason, when a gust of wind slams into my back, and I stumble forward onto my destroyed ankle, flinging my arms out to keep my balance and grimacing at the shooting pain. Tynan's mouth hangs open and he staggers backward, his head tilting so far back it's nearly perpendicular to his torso. Shade envelops us both as he continues to back away. Chest heaving, my lungs desperate for air, I chance a look over my shoulder to see why Tynan's retreating. And my heart lurches into my throat. Standing with the golden one tucked under an enormous, scarred black wing is the biggest dragon I've ever seen in my life. The unbonded black dragon Professor Kaori showed us in class. I don't even come close to reaching its ankle. A growl resonates through its chest, vibrating the ground around me as it lowers its gigantic head, baring dripping teeth. Fear ripples through every cell in my body as its hot breath blows over me.
Step aside, Silver One.
A deep, gruff, definitely male voice orders. I blink. Wait. What? Did he just speak to me?
Yes, you. Move.
There's zero room for argument in his tone, and I limp to the side, nearly stumbling over Orin's unconscious body as Tynan breaks into a screaming run, fleeing for the trees. The black dragon's eyes narrow to glare at Tynan, and he opens his mouth wide a second before fire shoots across the field, blasting heat against the side of my face and incinerating everything in its path, including Tynan. Flames crackle at the edges of the blackened path, and I turn slowly to face the dragon, wondering if I'm about to be next. His giant golden eyes study me, but I hold my ground, tilting my chin upward.
You should end the enemy at your feet.
My eyebrows jerk upward. His mouth didn't move. He spoke to me, but his mouth didn't move. Oh, shit. Because he's in my head. I can't kill an unconscious man. I shake my head, though whether it's in protest at his suggestion or a result of my confusion is up for debate.
He would kill you if given the same chance.
I glance down at Orin, still unconscious in the grass beside my feet. It's not like I can argue that astute assessment. Well, that's a statement on his character, not mine. The dragon only blinks in response, and I can't quite tell if that's a good thing or not. There's a flash of blue out the corner of my eye, then a whoosh of air as Zayden and Sigale take off, leaving me here with the giant black dragon and the little golden one. Guess Zayden's momentary concern for my life is over. The dragon's giant nostrils flare.
You're bleeding. Stop it.
My arm. It's not that simple when you've been run through with a... I shake my head again. Am I seriously arguing with a dragon? This is so fucking surreal. You know what? That's a great idea. I manage to cut off what remains of my right shirt sleeve and wrap it around the wound, holding one end of the fabric with my teeth as I tie it tight to apply pressure and slow the bleeding. There. Better?
It will do.
He tilts his head at me.
Your hands are bound too. Do you bleed often?
I try not to. He scoffs.
Let's go, Violet Sorengale.
He lifts his head, and the golden dragon peeks out from under his wing. How do you know my name? I gawk up at him.
And to think, I'd almost forgotten just how loquacious humans are.
He sighs, the gust of his breath rattling the trees.
Get on my back.
Oh, shit. He's choosing
me.
Get on your back? I repeat like a fucking parrot. Have you seen you? Do you have any idea how huge you are? I'd need a damned ladder to get up there. The look he gives me can only be described as annoyance.
One does not live a century without being well aware of the space one takes up. Now, get on.
The golden one moves out from under the shelter of the big one's wing. It's tiny compared to the monstrosity before me, and apparently completely defenseless with the exception of those teeth, like a playful puppy. I can't just leave it, I say. What if Orin wakes up or Jack comes back? The black dragon chuffs. The golden one bends down, flexing its legs, and then launches into the sky, its golden wings catching the sun as it flies off, skimming the tops of the trees. So it can fly. That would have been nice to know 20 minutes ago.
Get on,
the black dragon growls, shaking the ground and trees at the edge of the field. You don't want me, I argue.
I'm not going to tell you again.
Point taken. Fear grasps my throat like a fist, and I hobble over to his leg. This isn't like climbing a tree. There are no handholds, no easy path, just a series of hard-as-stone scales that don't exactly give me a foothold. My ankle and arm aren't doing me any favors either. How the hell am I going to get up there? I raise my left arm and suck in a breath before placing my hand on his front leg. The scales are larger and thicker than my hand and surprisingly warm to the touch. They layer into the next above them in an intricate pattern that leaves no space to grab hold.
You are a rider, are you not?
That seems to be up for debate at the moment. My heart thunders. Is he going to cook me alive for being too slow? A low, frustrated grumble sounds in his chest, and then He shocks me to the core as he stretches forward, his front leg becoming a ramp. Dragons never supplicate for anyone, and yet here he is bowing to make it easier for me to climb on. It's steep, but manageable. I don't hesitate, crawling up his front leg on my hands and knees to balance my weight and spare my ankle. But the strain on my arm has me gasping by the time I climb over his shoulder and reach his back, dodging the pointed spikes that ripple down most of his neck like a mane. Holy shit, I'm on the back of a dragon.
Sit.
I see the seat, the smooth, scaly divot just in front of his wings, and sit, bending my knees like Professor Kaori taught us. Then I grab a hold of the thick ridges of scales we call the pommel, where his neck meets his shoulders. Everything about him is bigger than any model we practiced on. My body isn't built to stay on any dragon, let alone one of his size. There's no way I'll be able to stay seated. This is about to be the first and last ride of my life.
My name is Ternanok, son of Muidcordeem and Fia Clanfuel, descended from the cunning Dubmadeen line.
He stands to his full height, bringing me eye level with the canopy of trees around the clearing, and I squeeze a little tighter with my thighs.
But I am not going to assume that you'll be able to remember that once we reach the field. So Tern will do until I inevitably have to remind you.
I inhale swiftly, but there's no time to process his name, his history, before he bends slightly and launches us into the sky. It feels like I imagine a stone does after being flung from a catapult, except it takes every ounce of strength I have to stay on this particular stone. Holy shit! The ground falls away as we soar, Tern's enormous wings beating the air into submission and pitching upward. My body lifts off his back, and I dig in with my hands, trying to keep anchored, but the wind, the angle, it's all too much, and my grip falters. My hands slip. Fuck! Scrambling for purchase, my hands rake down Tern's back as I skid past his wings, rapidly approaching the sharp scales of his morning star tail. No, no, no! He banks left, and whatever hope I had of getting a handhold tumbles right off with me. I'm in free fall. Chapter 15. A quote from page 50, The Book of Brennan. Just because you survive threshing doesn't mean you'll survive the ride to the flight field. Being chosen isn't the only test, and if you can't hold your seat, then you'll fly straight into the ground. Terror clogs my throat and stutters my heart. Air rushes past me as I plummet toward the mountainous terrain beneath, and the sun catches the scales of the Golden One far beneath me. I'm going to die. That's the only possible outcome. Vices clamp around my ribs and over my shoulders, stopping my descent, and my body jerks with whiplash as I'm yanked upward again.
You're making us look bad. Stop it.
I'm clasped in Tern's claws. He's actually caught me, instead of finding me unworthy and letting me fall to my death. It's not like it's easy to stay on your back when you're doing acrobatics, I shout up. He glances down at me, and I swear the ridge above his eye arches.
Simple flight is hardly acrobatics.
There is absolutely nothing simple about you! I wrap my arms around the knuckles of his claws, noting that his sharp talons are draped harmlessly around the sides of my body. He's huge, but he's also careful as he flies us along the mountain. He's one of the deadliest dragons in Navarre. Professor Kaori's lesson. What else had he said? The only unbonded black dragon hadn't agreed to bond this year? He hadn't even been seen in the last 5 years. His rider died in the Tirish Rebellion. Tern swings me upward and then releases me, sending me flying high above him, and I flail. My stomach drops at the height of his toss, and then I fall for 2 heartbeats before Tern rushes up, catching me on his back between his wings.
Now, get in a seat and actually hold on this time, or no one is going to believe that I've actually chosen you.
He growls. I still can't believe you've chosen me. I have half a mind to tell him that getting back to the seat isn't as easy as he's implying, but he levels out and his wings catch the air in a gentle glide, cutting the wind resistance. Inch by inch, I crawl up his back until I reach the seat and settle in again. I hold on to his ridges so hard my hands cramp.
You're going to have to strengthen your legs. Didn't you practice?
Indignation ripples up my spine.
Of course I practiced!
There's no need to shout. I can hear you just fine. The entire mountain can probably hear you.
Was everyone's dragon a curmudgeon or just mine? My eyes widen. I have a dragon. And not just any dragon. I have Ternanach.
Grip harder with your knees. I can barely feel you back there.
I'm trying.
I push my knees in, and the muscles of my thighs tremble as he banks left, softer this time than last, his angle not quite as steep as he changes course in a wide arc, taking us back toward Bazgaeth. I'm just not as strong as other riders.
I know exactly who and what you are, Violet Sorengale.
My legs shake until they lock, the muscles freezing in place as though bands have been wrapped around them. But there's no pain. I glance over my shoulder and see his Morningstar tail, what feels like miles behind us. He's doing this. He's holding me in place. Guilt settles in my stomach. I should have focused more on strength training for my legs. I should have spent more time preparing myself for this. He shouldn't have to spend his energy on keeping his rider seated.
I'm sorry. I just didn't think I'd make it this far.
A loud sigh resonates through my mind.
I didn't think I would either. So we have that in common.
I sit higher in the seat and look out over the landscape, wind ripping tears from the corners of my eyes. No wonder most riders choose to wear goggles. There are at least a dozen dragons in the air, each putting their rider through a trial of dips and turns. Reds, oranges, greens, browns, the sky is speckled with color. My heart lurches as I see a rider fall from the back of a red sword tail, and, unlike Tairn, the dragon doesn't dip to catch the first year. I look away before the body hits the ground.
It's not anyone you know.
That's what I tell myself. Rhiannon, Riddick, Trina, Sawyer, they're all probably safely bonded and already waiting at the field.
We're going to have to put on a show.
Awesome. The idea is anything but.
You will not fall. I will not allow it.
The bands around my legs extend to my hands and I feel the pulse of invisible energy.
You will trust me.
Not a question. An order.
Let's get it over with.
I can't move my legs, my fingers, my hands, so there's nothing I can do but sit back and hope I enjoy whatever hell he's about to put me through. His wings give a mighty beat, and we lurch upward in what feels like a 90-degree climb, leaving my stomach back at the lower altitude. He crests the top of the snow-dusted peaks, and we hang there for a breath of a second before he twists, diving back down at the same terrifying angle. It's the most horrifying and yet exhilarating moment of my life. Until he twists again, sending us into a spiral. My body is wrenched this way and that as he completes turn after turn, pulling us out of the dive only to bank so hard I swear the land becomes the sky, then repeats it all until my face splits into a grin. There is nothing like this.
I think we made our point.
He pulls us level, then banks right, starting up the valley that leads to the box canyon of the training fields. The sun is close to setting behind the peaks, but there's plenty of light to see the golden dragon up ahead, hovering as though it's waiting. Maybe it didn't choose a rider, but it will live to decide again next year. And that's all that matters. Or maybe it will see that we humans aren't so great after all.
Why did you choose me?
I have to know,
because as soon as we land, there are going to be questions.
Because you saved her.
Tarn's head inclines towards the golden as we approach, and she follows after us. Our speed slows. But I shake my head. Dragons value strength and cunning and ferocity in their riders, none of which defines me.
Please, do tell me more about what I should value.
Sarcasm drips from his tone as we pass over the gauntlet and crest the narrow entrance to the training fields. I suck in a sharp breath at the sight of so many dragons. There are hundreds gathered along the rocky edges of the mountain slopes behind the bleachers that were erected overnight. Spectators. And at the bottom of the valley, in the same field I'd walked only a couple of days before, are two lines of dragons facing each other.
They are divided between those still in the quadrant who chose in years past and those who chose today,
Tarn tells me.
We are the 71st bond to enter the fields.
Mom will be here, on the dais in front of the bleachers, and maybe I'll get more than a cursory glance, but her attention will mostly be on the 70 or so newly bonded pairs. A ferocious roar of celebration goes up among the dragons as we fly in, every head swinging our way, and I know it's in deference to Tarn. So is the parting of the dragons at the very center of the field, making room for Tarn to land. He releases the bands holding me in my seat, then hovers over the grass for a few wing beats. And I see the golden dragon flying furiously to catch up. How ironic. Tarn is the most celebrated dragon in the Vale, and I'm the most unlikely rider in the quadrant.
You are the smartest of your year. The most cunning.
I gulp at the compliment, brushing it off. I was trained as a scribe, not a rider.
You defended the smallest with ferocity. And strength of courage is more important than physical strength, since you apparently need to know before we land.
My throat tightens from his words, emotion forming a knot I have to swallow past. Oh, shit. I hadn't spoken those words, I'd thought them. He can read my thoughts.
See, smartest of your year.
So much for privacy.
You'll never be alone again.
That sounds more like a threat than a comfort, I think. Of course I knew that dragons maintain a mental bond with their riders, but the extent of it is more than a little daunting. Tarn scoffs in reply. The golden dragon reaches us, her wings beating twice as fast as Tarn's, and we land in the dead center of the field. The impact jars me slightly, but I sit up tall in the seat and even let go of the pommel ridges. See, I can hang on just fine when you're not moving. Tarn tucks his wings up and looks over his shoulder at me with an expression that's the closest thing to a dragon rolling his eyes that I've ever seen.
You need to dismount before I rethink my selection. Then tell the roll keeper.
I know what to do. I pull in a shaky breath. I just didn't think I'd be alive to do it. Surveying both options for dismount, I move right to shelter my ankle as long as possible. There are no healers allowed in the flight field, only riders. But hopefully someone thought to pack a medical kit because I'm going to need stitches and a splint. I scoot over the scales of Tarn's shoulder and, before I can lament the distance I'm about to have to jump on the wreckage of my ankle, Tarn shifts slightly, angling his front leg. There's a sound from the slopes that reminds me of muttering, if dragons mutter.
They do, and they are. Ignore it.
Again, there's no room for argument in his tone. Thanks, I whisper, then slide down on my butt like he's a bumpy piece of lethal playground equipment, taking the brunt of the impact with my left leg when I hit the ground.
That's one way to do it.
I can't stop the smile on my face, or the joy that stings my eyes at the sight of the other first years standing in front of their dragons. I'm alive, and I'm no longer a cadet. I'm a rider. The first step hurts like hell, but I pivot toward the Golden One, who is tucked in tight next to Taryn, surveying me with bright eyes as she flicks her feather tail. I'm glad you made it. Glad isn't even the right word. Thrilled, relieved, grateful. But maybe you should fly off the next time someone suggests you save yourself, eh? She blinks.
Maybe I was saving you.
Her voice is higher, sweeter in my mind. My lips part, and the muscles in my face go slack with shock. Didn't anyone tell you that you're not supposed to speak to humans who aren't your rider? Don't go getting yourself into trouble, Goldie, I whisper. From what I hear, dragons are pretty strict about breaking that rule. She simply sits, tucking her wings in, and tilts her head at me in that should-be-impossible angle that almost makes me laugh.
Holy hell! The rider of the red dragon to my right exclaims, and I turn toward him.
He's a first year from Claw Section Fourth Wing, but I don't remember his name.
Is that?
He openly stares with fear-wide eyes at Taryn. Yeah, I say, smiling wider. He is. My ankle throbs, aches, and generally feels like it's going to come apart at any second as I limp across the wide field, heading for the small formation directly ahead of me. Behind me, wind sporadically gusts as more dragons land and their riders dismount to have their names recorded. But it's softer and softer as the line spreads farther down the field. Dusk falls and a series of mage lights illuminates the crowd in the bleachers and on the dais. In the very center, right above where the redhead from Parapet is recording roll, sits my mother, dressed in all her military finery, medals and all, lest anyone forget exactly who she is. Though there is an assortment of generals on the dais, each representing their wing, there's only one more highly decorated than Lilith Sorengale. And Melgrin, the commanding general of all Navarian forces, has his beady eyes on Taryn in open assessment. His focus flicks toward me and I suppress a shudder. There's nothing but cold calculation in those eyes. Mom rises as I approach the roll keeper at the base of the dais, who's recording bonded pairs before motioning the next rider forward to maintain secrecy of a dragon's full name. Professor Kaori jumps off the 6-foot platform to my left and stares open-mouthed at Taryn, his gaze sweeping over the massive black dragon, memorizing every single detail.
Is that really?
Commandant Pancheck starts, hovering at the edge of the dais with more than a dozen other uniformed high-ranking officers all gaping.
Don't say it, Mom hisses, her eyes on Taryn, not me. Not until she does.
Because only a rider and the roll keeper know a dragon's full name. And she's not certain I'm really his. That's exactly what she's implying.
Like I'd be able to hijack Taryn.
Anger simmers in my veins, overtaking the pain coursing through my body as I move forward in the line so there's only one other rider ahead of me. Mom forced me into the rider's quadrant. She didn't care if I lived or died as I crossed the parapet. The only thing she cares about now is how my flaws might mar her sterling reputation, or how my bonding might further her own agenda. And now she's staring at my dragon without even bothering to look down and see if I'm all right. Fuck her. It's everything I expected, and yet still so disappointing. The rider ahead finishes, moving out of the way, and the roll keeper looks up, glancing wide-eyed at Taryn before lowering her shocked gaze to mine and beckoning me forward.
Violet Sorengale, she says as she writes in the Book of Riders. Nice to see that you made it.
She offers me a quick, shaky smile. For the record, please tell me the name of the dragon who chose you.
I lift my chin,
Tarnanok.
Pronunciation could use some work.
Tarn's voice rumbles through my head.
Hey, at least I remembered.
I think back in his general direction, wondering if he'll hear me across the field.
At least I didn't let you fall to your death.
He sounds utterly bored, but he definitely heard me. The woman grins, shaking her head as she writes down his name.
I can't believe he bonded. Violet, he's a legend.
I open my mouth to agree.
And Darna Yoram,
the sweet high voice of the golden fills my mind.
Undarna, for short.
I feel the blood rush from my face, and the edges of my vision sway as I pivot on my good ankle, staring back across the field at where the golden dragon, Undarna, now stands between Tarn's front legs.
Excuse me?
Violet, are you all right? The redhead asks, and everyone around me, above me, leans in.
Tell her,
the golden insists. Tarn, what am I supposed to... I think at him.
Tell the rule keeper her name,
Tarn echoes. Violet, the rule keeper repeats. Do you need a mender? I turn back to the woman and clear my throat.
And
Darna Yoram,
I whisper. Her eyes fly wide.
Both dragons? She squawks.
I nod. And all hell breaks loose. Chapter 16.
A quote from Colonel Kaori's Field Guide to Dragonkind.
Though this officer considers himself to be an expert on all matters dragonkind, there is a great deal we don't know about the way dragons govern themselves. There is a clear hierarchy among the most powerful, and deference is paid to elders. But I have not been able to discern how it is they make laws for themselves, or at what point a dragon decided to bond only one rider, rather than go for better odds with two.
Absolutely not!
One general shouts loud enough that I can hear her all the way from the little medical station that's been set up at the end of the bleachers for riders. It's nothing but a row of a dozen tables and some flown-in supplies to tide us over until we can get to the healer quadrant. But at least the pain medication is taking effect.
Two dragons. I have two dragons.
The generals have been screaming at each other for the last half hour, long enough for a chill to settle in the night air, and for an instructor I've never met to sew up both sides of my arm. Lucky for me, Tynan mostly sliced through muscle, but didn't sever it. Unlucky for me, Jack is getting his shoulder examined about a dozen feet away. He strutted over from the back of an orange scorpion tail to record his bond with the roll keeper, who'd kept doing her job regardless of the generals arguing on the dais behind her. Jack hasn't quit staring at Tarn across the field.
How is that?
Professor Kaori asks quietly, tightening the straps around my splinted ankle. There are about a million other questions in his slashing dark eyes, but he keeps them to himself.
Hurts like hell.
The swelling made it nearly impossible to get my boot back on without loosening every single lace to its widest position. But at least I don't have to crawl across the field like a girl from second wing who had broken her leg during dismount. She's seven tables back, crying softly as the rider field medics try to set her leg.
You'll be focused on strengthening your bonds and riding in the next couple of months, so as long as you don't have any trouble mounting or dismounting.
His head tilts as he ties off the straps of my splint.
Which, after what I saw, I don't think you will. This sprain should heal before your next round of challenges.
Two lines deepen between his brow.
Or I can call Nolan.
No, I shake my head. I'll heal.
If you're sure.
He obviously isn't. Every eye in this valley is on me and my dragon. Dragons. I correct myself. I can't afford to appear weak.
He frowns, but nods. Do you know who made it out of my squad? I ask, fear knotting my throat. Please let Rhiannon be alive, and Trina and Riddick and Sawyer, all of them.
I haven't seen Trina or Tynan, Professor Kaori answers slowly, like he's trying to soften a blow. It doesn't.
Tynan won't be coming, I whisper, guilt gnawing at my stomach.
That is not your kill to take credit for,
Tarn mentally growls.
I see, Professor Kaori murmurs.
What the hell do you mean you think it needs surgery? Jack bellows from my left.
I mean, it looks like the weapon severed a couple of ligaments, but we'll have to get you to the healers to be sure,
the other instructor says, his voice infinitely patient as he secures Jack's sling. I look Jack straight in those evil eyes and smile. I'm done being scared of him. He ran back in that meadow. Rage mottles his cheeks in the mage light, and he swings his feet over the end of his table and charges toward me.
You!
I what? I slip off the end of my table and leave my hands loose by the sheaths at my thighs. Professor Kaori's eyebrows jump as he glances between us.
You? He murmurs.
Me, I answer, keeping my focus on Jack. But Professor Kaori moves between us, throwing his palm out at Jack.
I wouldn't get any closer to her. Hiding behind our instructors now, Sorengale?
Jack's uninjured fist curls.
I didn't hide out there, and I'm not hiding here, I raise my chin. I'm not the one who ran.
She doesn't need to hide behind me when she's bonded to the most powerful dragon of your year,
Professor Kaori warns Jack, whose eyes narrow on me.
Your orange is a good choice, Barlow.
Bide, right?
He's had 4 other riders before you.
Jack nods. Professor Kaori looks back over his shoulder at the line of dragons.
As aggressive as Bide might be, from the way Tarn's looking at you, he'll have no problem scorching your bones into the earth if you take another step toward his rider.
Jack stares at me in disbelief.
You?
Me. The throbbing in my ankle is down to a manageable, dull ache, even standing on it. He shakes his head, and the look in his eyes transforms from shock to envy to fear as he pivots toward the professor.
I don't know what she told you about what happened out there.
Nothing, the instructor folds his arms across his chest.
Is there something I need to know?
Jack pales, going white as a sheet in the mage light as another injured first year hobbles over, blood streaming from his thigh and torso.
Everyone who needs to know already knows.
I lock eyes with Jack.
Guess we're done for the night.
Kaori says as a line of dragons flies in, only visible by their silhouettes in the darkness.
The senior riders are back. You two should return to your dragons.
Jack huffs and marches off across the field. I glance at the generals still gathered in heated discussion on the dais.
Professor Kaori, has anyone ever bonded 2 dragons?
If anyone knows, it's the professor of dragonkind.
He turns with me to face the arguing leadership.
You would be the first. Not sure why they're fighting about it, though. The decision won't be up to them.
It won't? Wind gusts as dozens of dragons land on the opposite side of the first years, rows of mage lights hanging between them.
Nothing about who dragons choose is up to humans,
Kaori assures me.
We only like to maintain the illusion that we're in control. Something tells me they've just been waiting for the others to make it back before they meet.
The leadership? My brow furrows. Kaori shakes his head.
The dragons.
The dragons are going to meet? Thank you for tending to my ankle. I'd better get back over there. I offer him a tentative smile and head across the dimly lit field to Tarn and Undarna, feeling the weight of every stare in the valley as I stop and stand between the 2 dragons. You two are causing a ruckus, you know. I look at Indarna, then glance up at Tarn before turning around to face the field like the other first years. They're not going to let us do this. Oh, shit. What if they make me choose? My stomach plummets.
It's up to the Empyrean to decide,
Tarn says, but there's an edge of tension in his tone.
Don't leave the field. This might take a while.
What might? My question dies on my tongue as the biggest dragon I've ever seen, even larger than Tarn, stalks toward us from the opening to the valley. Each dragon it passes walks into the center of the field and follows after, gathering dozens as it walks. Is that?
Coda,
Tarn answers. General Melgrin's dragon. I make out the patchy holes in his battle-scarred wings as he comes closer, his golden gaze focused on Tarn in a way that makes me nauseous. He growls, low in his throat, turning those sinister eyes on me. Tarn rumbles his own growl, stepping forward so I'm between his massive claws. There's zero doubt I'm the subject of both disgruntled snarls.
Yep, we're talking about you,
Indarna says as the line passes by, and she joins.
Stay close to the wing leader until we return,
Tarn orders. Surely he meant to say squad leader.
You heard what I said.
Or not. I glance around and spot Zayden standing across the field, his arms crossed and legs spread as he stares at Tarn. The riders are eerily silent as the dragons empty the meadow, taking flight in a steady stream near the end and landing halfway up the southernmost peak in a shadowy grouping I can barely define in the moonlight. The second the last of the dragons flies off, chaos erupts. First years swarm the center of the field, where I happen to be standing, shouting in exuberance and searching for their friends. My eyes scan the crowd, hoping for some glimpse of... Rhee! I shout, spotting Rhiannon in the mob and limping her way. Violet! She crushes me into a hug, pulling away when I wince at the fresh pain in my arm. What happened? Tynan's sword. I barely get the answer out of my mouth before I'm snatched off my feet by Riddick, who spins me around, my feet flying out in front of me.
Look who rode in on the baddest motherfucker around!
Put her down, Rhiannon chides. She's bleeding!
Oh, shit, sorry,
Riddick says, and my feet find the ground. It's fine. There's fresh blood on the bandage, but I don't think I've torn my stitches, and painkillers are awesome. Are you all right? Who did you guys bond?
The Green Dagger Tail, Rhiannon grins.
Fjerg. And it was just... easy, she sighs. I saw her and just knew.
Iotrum,
Riddick says with pride. Brown Swordtail.
Sleeg,
Sawyer throws his arms around Rhiannon's and Riddick's shoulders.
Red Swordtail.
We all cheer, and I'm swept into his hug next. Out of all of us, I'm happiest for him, for all he's had to endure to get here. Trina? I ask as he lets me go. One by one, they shake their heads, looking to the others for answers. An impossible heaviness settles in my heart, and I search for any other reason. I mean, there's a possibility she's just unbonded, right? Sawyer shakes his head, sorrow slackening his shoulders. I saw her fall from the back of an orange club tail. My heart sinks.
Tynan?
Riddick asks, his gaze jumping between us. Tarn killed him, I say softly. In his defense, Tynan had already run me through once, I gestured to the wound on my arm, and he was trying to... He tried what? I'm spun around by the shoulders and yanked against a chest. Dane. My arms wind around his back and hold fast as I breathe deeply.
Damn it, Violet, just... Damn!
He squeezes me tight, then pushes me to arm's length.
You're hurt.
I'm fine,
I assure him. But that doesn't quell the worry in his eyes. I'm not sure anything ever will. But we're all that's left of our squad's first years. Dane's gaze rises to look at the others and he nods. 4 out of 9. That's, his jaw ticks once, to be expected. The dragons are currently holding a meeting of the Empyrean, their leadership. Stay here until they return, he says to the others before looking down at me. You come with me. It's probably my mother beckoning me through him. Surely she'll want to see me with everything that's going on. I glance across the field, but it's not Mom I find watching me, but Zayden, his expression unreadable. When Dane takes my hand and tugs, I turn away from Zayden, following Dane to the opposite edge of the field, where we're hidden in shadow. Guess it's not about Mom. What the actual fuck happened out there? Because I've got Kaff telling me that not only did Tarn choose you, but so did the small one, Adarn. His fingers lace with mine, panic swirling in his brown eyes. And Darna, I correct him, a smile playing on my lips at the thought of the small golden dragon. They're going to make you choose. His expression hardens, and the certainty there makes me recoil. I'm not choosing, I shake my head, disengaging our hands. No human has ever chosen, and I'm not about to be the first. And who the hell is Dane to tell me that? You are. He rips his hand over his hair and his composure slips. You have to trust me. You do trust me, right? Of course I do. Then you have to choose, and Darna. He nods as if his decree equals a decision made. The gold one is the safest choice of the two. Why, because Tarn is... Tarn? Does Dane think I'm too weak for a dragon as strong as Tarn? My mouth opens, then shuts like a fish out of water as I search for any reply that isn't fuck off. There's no way in hell I'm rejecting Tarn. But my heart won't let me reject Endarna either. Are they going to make me choose? I think in their direction. There's no response. And where I've felt an extension in my mind of who I am, stretching my mental boundaries since Tarn first spoke to me in that field, there's nothing now. I'm cut off. Don't panic. I'm not choosing, I repeat, softer this time. What if I can't have either of them? What if they've broken some sacred rule and now we'll all be punished? You are, and it has to be Endarna. He grips my shoulders and leans in, an edge of urgency in his tone. I know she's too small to bear a rider. That hasn't been tested, I say defensively, even though I know it's true. The physics just don't match up. And it doesn't matter. It will mean that you won't be able to ride with a wing. But they'll probably make you a permanent instructor here like Kaori. That's because his signet power makes him indispensable as a teacher, not because his dragon can't fly, I argue. And even he had the requisite 4 years with a combat wing before he was put behind a desk. Dane looks away, and I can almost see the gears in his mind turning as he calculates. What, my risk, my choice, my freedom? Even if you take Endarna into combat, there's only a chance you'll be killed. You take Tarn, and Zayden will get you killed. You think Melgrin is terrifying? I've been here for a year longer than you have, Vi. At least you know what you're getting when it comes to Melgrin. Zayden isn't only twice as ruthless, but he's dangerously unpredictable. I blink. Wait, what are you saying? They're a mated pair, Tarn and Sigale, the strongest bonded pair in centuries. My mind whirs. Mated pairs can't be separated for long, or their health diminishes, so they're always stationed together. Always, which means, oh gods. Just tell me how it happened. He must see me fumbling because his voice softens. So I do. I tell him about Jack and his band of murderous friends hunting Endarna. I tell him about falling and the field and Zayden watching. Zayden shockingly protecting me with his warning when Orin was at my back. He had the perfect opportunity to end me without it tipping his scales. and he chose to help. What the hell am I supposed to do with that?
Zayden was there?
Dane says quietly, but the gentleness leeches from his voice. Yes, I nod, but he left after Taryn showed up. Zayden was there when you defended Andarna, and then Taryn just showed up, he asked slowly. Yes, that's what I just said. Was the timeline confusing him? What are you getting at?
Don't you see what happened? What Zayden's done?
His grip tightens. Thank gods for dragonscale armor, or I might have bruises tomorrow.
Please, do tell me what it is you think I've done.
A shape emerges from the shadows, and my pulse quickens as Zayden steps into the moonlight, darkness falling off him like a discarded veil. Heat rushes through every vein, wakes every nerve ending. I hate the reaction of my body to the sight of him, but I can't deny it. His appeal is so fucking inconvenient.
You manipulated threshing.
Dane's hands drop from my shoulders, and he turns to face our wing leader, the set of his shoulders rigid as he puts himself between us.
Oh, shit. That's a huge allegation to hurl.
Dane, that's paranoid. I sidestep Dane's back. If Zayden was going to kill me, he wouldn't have waited this long to do it. He's had every possible opportunity, and yet I'm still standing here, bonded to his dragon's mate. Zayden's not going to kill me. The realization makes my chest tighten, makes me re-examine everything that happened in that field, makes my sense of gravity shift beneath my feet.
Is that an official accusation?
Zayden looks at Dane like a hindrance, an annoyance.
Did you step in? Dane demands. Did I what?
Zayden arches a dark brow and levels a look on Dane that would make a lesser person wither.
Did I see her outnumbered and already wounded? Did I think her bravery was as admirable as it was fucking reckless?
He turns that stare on me, and I feel the impact all the way to my toes.
And I would do it again, I raise my chin. Well the fuck aware,
Zayden roars, losing his temper for the first time since I met him on parapet. I pull in a quick breath and Zayden does the same, as if he's just as shocked by his outburst as I am.
Did I see her fight off three bigger cadets?
His glare pivots to Dane,
because the answer to all of those is yes. But you're asking the wrong question, Atos. What you should be asking is if Sigail saw it too.
Dane swallows and looks away, obviously rethinking his position.
His mate told him, I whisper. Sigail called for Taryn.
She's never been a fan of bullies, Zayden says to me. But don't mistake it as an act of kindness toward you. She's fond of the little dragon. Unfortunately, Taryn chose you all on his own.
Fuck,
Dane mutters. My thought exactly.
Zayden shakes his head at Dane.
Sorengale is the last person on the continent I'd ever want to be chained to me. I didn't do this.
Ouch. It takes all the willpower in my body not to reach for my chest and make sure he didn't just rip my heart out from behind my ribs, which makes absolutely zero sense since I feel the same way about him. He's the son of the great betrayer. His father was directly responsible for Brennan's death.
And even if I had, Zayden moves toward Dane, towering over him. Would you really level that accusation, knowing it would have been what saved the woman you call your best friend?
My gaze flies to Dane, and a silent, damning moment passes. It's a simple question, and yet I find myself holding my breath for his answer. What do I really mean to him?
There are rules.
Dane tilts his chin to look Zayden in the eyes.
And out of curiosity, would you have, let's say, bent those rules to save your precious little Violet in that field?
His voice ices over as he studies Dane's expression with rapt fascination. Zayden had taken a step. Right before Taryn landed, he'd moved. Toward me. Dane's jaw flexes, and I see the war in his eyes.
That's unfair to ask him. I move to Dane's side as the sound of whipping wings interrupts the night. The dragons are flying back. They've made their decision.
I'm ordering you to answer, squad leader.
Zayden doesn't even spare me a glance. Dane swallows, his eyes slamming shut.
No. I wouldn't have.
My heart hits the ground. I've always known deep down that Dane valued rule and order more than relationships, more than me. But to have it so cruelly displayed cuts deeper than Tynan's sword. Zayden scoffs. Dane immediately jerks his head toward mine.
It would have killed me to watch something happen to you, Vi, but the rules...
It's all right, I force out, touching his shoulder. But it isn't.
The dragons are returning, Zayden says as the first of them lands on the illuminated field. Get back to formation, squad leader.
Dane rips his gaze from mine and walks away, blending into the crowd of hurried riders and their dragons.
Why would you do that to him? I hurl at Zayden, then shake my head.
I don't care why.
Forget it, I mutter, then march off, heading back toward the spot where Taryn told me to wait. Because you put too much faith in him, Zayden answers anyway, catching up to me without even lengthening his stride. And knowing who to trust is the only thing that will keep you alive. Keep us alive. Not only in the quadrant, but after graduation. There is no us, I say, dodging a rider as she races past. Dragons land left and right, the ground trembling with the force of the riot's movement. I've never seen so many dragons at flight in the same moment.
Oh, I think you'll find that's no longer the case, Zayden murmurs next to me, gripping my elbow and yanking me out of the path of another rider, running from the other direction.
Yesterday, he would have let me run headfirst into him. Hell, he might have even pushed me.
Taryn's bonds are so powerful, both to mate and rider, because he's so powerful. Losing his last rider nearly killed him, which in turn nearly killed Sigale.
Mated pairs' lives are interdependent, I know that. We move forward until we're dead center in the line of riders. If I wasn't so aggravated by Zayden's callous attitude toward Dane, I would take the time to admire just how spectacular it is to see hundreds of dragons land all around us. Or maybe I'd question how the man next to me manages to consume all the air in the massive field.
Each time a dragon chooses a rider, that bond is stronger than the last. Which means that if you die violence, it sets off a chain of events that potentially ends with me dying too.
His expression is immovable marble, but the anger in his eyes leaves me breathless. It's pure rage.
So yeah, unfortunately for everyone involved, there's now an us if the Empyrean lets Taryn's choice stand.
Oh, gods. I'm tethered to Zayden Ryerson.
And now that Taryn is in play, that other cadets know he's willing to bond?
He sighs, annoyance rippling over his features, his strong jaw working as he looks away. That's why Taryn told me to stay with you, I whisper, as the consequences of today's actions settle in my churning stomach. Because of the unbonded. There are at least 36 of them standing on the opposite side of the field, watching us with avarice in their eyes, including Orin Seifert.
The unbonded are going to try to kill you in hopes they'll get Taryn to bond them.
Zayden shakes his head at Garrick as he approaches, and the section leader glances between us, his mouth set in a firm line before retreating across the field.
Tairn is one of the strongest dragons on the continent, and the vast power he channels is about to be yours. The next few months, the Unbonded will try to kill a newly paired rider while the bond is weak, while they still have a chance of that dragon changing its mind and picking them so they're not set back a full year. And for Tairn, they'll do just about anything. He sighs again like it's his new full-time job. There are 41 Unbonded riders for which you are now target number one. He holds up a single finger. And Tairn thinks you'll play bodyguard? I snort. Little does he know just how much you dislike me. He knows exactly how much I value my own life, Zayden retorts, glancing down my body. You're freakishly calm for someone who just heard she's about to be hunted. It's a typical Wednesday for me, I shrug, ignoring the way his gaze heats my skin. And honestly, being hunted by 41 people is a lot less intimidating than constantly watching dark corners for you. A breeze hits my back as Endarna lands behind me, followed by a gust of wind and shuddering ground when it's Tairn. Without another word, Zayden rips his gaze from mine and walks away, cutting a slightly diagonal path across the field to where Sigael overshadows the other wingleader's dragons. Tell me it's going to be all right, I murmur toward Endarna and Tairn.
It is how it should be,
Tairn answers, his voice gruff and bored at the same time. You didn't answer before. Fine, it sounds a little accusatory.
Humans can't know what's said within the Empyrean, Endarna answers. It's a rule.
So every rider was blocked, not just me. The thought is oddly comforting. Also, the whole Empyrean is a new term for me today. Kaori must be in heaven tonight with all the dragon politics coming to light. What did they decide? I glance at my mother, but she's looking everywhere but my direction. General Melgrin moves toward the front of the dais, his uniform dripping in medals. Dane's right in one way. The top general in our kingdom is terrifying. He's never had an issue using infantry for fodder, and his cruelty when it comes to overseeing the interrogation and execution of prisoners is well known, at least at my family's dining room table. His enormous nightmare of a dragon takes up the entire space beside the dais, and a hush falls over the crowd as Melgrin angles his hands in front of his face.
Coda has relayed that the dragons have spoken regarding the Sorengale girl.
Lesser magic allows his voice to magically amplify over the field for all to hear. Woman, I mentally correct him, my stomach nodding.
While tradition has shown us that there is one rider for every dragon, there has never been a case of two dragons selecting the same rider, and therefore there is no dragon law against it, he declares. While we riders may not feel as though this is equitable,
his tone implies that he's one of them.
Dragons make their own laws. Both Tairn and...
He looks over his shoulder and his aide rushes forward to whisper in his ear.
And Darna have chosen Violet Sorengale, and so their choice stands.
The crowd murmurs, but my shoulders sag in acute relief. I don't have to make an impossible choice.
As it should be, Tairn grumbles. Humans have no say in the laws of dragons.
Mom steps forward and makes the same gesture with her hands to project her voice, but I can't concentrate on what she's saying as she closes out the formal portion of the threshing ceremony, promising the Unbonded riders another chance next year. If they don't manage to kill one of us while our bonds are weak in the next few months and try to bond our dragons themselves. I belong to Tairn and Endarna. And in some really fucked up way, Zayden. My scalp prickles, and I glance across the field at him. As if sensing my gaze, he looks over and holds up a single finger. Target number one.
Welcome to a family that knows no boundaries, no limits, and no end, my mother finishes, and a cheer resounds around the field. Riders, step forward.
I look left and right in confusion, but so does every other rider.
5 steps or so, Tairn says.
I take them.
Dragons, it is our honor as always, Mom calls out. Now, we celebrate!
Heat blasts my back, and I hiss in pain as riders on both sides of me cry out. My back feels like it's on fucking fire, and yet everyone across the field is cheering raucously, some of them racing our way. Other riders are caught up in embraces.
You'll like it, Tairn promises. It's unique.
The pain fades to a dull ache, and I glance over my shoulder. There's a solid black something peeking out from the vest. I'll like what?
Violet, Dane reaches me, his smile wide as he cups my face. You kept both of them.
I guess I did, my lips curve. It's all surreal, all too much for one day.
Where's your... He lets go and circles me. Can I unlace this? Just the top? He asks, tugging at the raised neck of the back of my vest.
I nod. A few pushes and pulls later, the crisp October air nips at the base of my neck.
Holy shit, you have to see this.
Tell the boy to move, Tairn orders.
Tairn says you should move. Dane steps out of the way. Suddenly, my vision isn't mine. I'm looking at my own back through Amdarna's eyes. A back that has a glistening black relic of a dragon mid-flight, stretching from shoulder to shoulder and, in the center, the silhouette of a shimmering golden one.
It's beautiful, I whisper. I'm marked by their magic as a rider now, as their rider.
We know, Amdarna answers.
I blink and my vision is mine again. And Dane's hands lace up my corset quickly, then are on my face, tipping it up toward his.
You have to know that I would do anything to save you, Violet, to keep you safe, he blurts, panic in his eyes. What Ryerson said, he shakes his head.
I know, I say reassuringly, nodding even as something cracks in my heart. You always want me safe.
He'd do anything.
Except break the rules.
You have to know how I feel about you.
His thumb strokes over my cheek, his eyes searching for something. And then, his mouth is on mine. His lips are soft, but the kiss is firm. And delight races up my spine. After years, Dane is finally kissing me. The thrill is gone in less than a heartbeat. There's no heat, no energy, no sharp slice of lust. Disappointment sours the moment, but not for Dane. He's all smiles as he pulls away.
It was over in an instant. It was everything I've ever wanted, except... Shit. I don't want it anymore.